this time for Carl to recreate some more voices from the week's news. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT, and that's 1-888-924-8924. You can always send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Auditorium in Chicago, or download the Wait Wait podcast to your computer or MP3 player. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Dan Sabbath in Seattle, Washington.
Dan Sabbath?
Yes.
Wow, are you the person the Sabbath was named after?
Yes, exactly.
Wow, that's an exciting thing. Well, thanks you for that. I enjoy my day of rest. Well, Dan, welcome to our show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle will once again recreate three quotes from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, of course. You'll win his voice on your home answering machine, voicemail, anything like that. Ready to play?
Yes.
Here's your first quote.
Are you happy with FEMA's response so far? I am very happy with FEMA's response so far.
That was a question and answer from the news conference held by FEMA last week to discuss the California wildfires, a press briefing in which it turned out the reporters were who?
Members of FEMA.
Exactly. FEMA employees pretending to be reporters. FEMA's annual Halloween celebration started a little early this year after the agency asked employees to dress up like reporters. At last week's news conference about the California wildfires, the fake reporters asked six softball questions, but they didn't follow up or ask anything real reporters might have asked in such a situation, such as, are you people high? FEMA apologized for staging the press conference, and they fired the administrator who arranged it, proving that could happen in this administration. They also said that the best costume award will be going to an employee who found a stunned raccoon at one of the fires, put it on his head, and went as Sam Donaldson.
I just would have loved to be in the room. And when somebody comes up with, hey, why don't we pretend to be reporters and do a press conference? Like, who thinks of that?
It's FEMA's drama club president, I thought it up.
But in this situation, there was nobody in the room that went, what are you, nuts? No! That's just plain dumb. It's like Eddie Haskell is running it now.
Yeah.
But never gets in trouble.
Yeah, and Wally is nowhere to be found. So how did they find out that they had done that?
It became obvious pretty quickly because the reporters, I think, were watching this on television. It was broadcast.
This was a live feed.
It was a live feed, and the reporters were watching. Well, who's there? Who are those people asking questions?
Broadcast to where?
It was made available to reporters.
Over the phone.
The actual media was watching this.
And so the reporters were watching it, and they went, hey, I wasn't there.
Exactly. And they were like, well, who are those people asking questions? Yeah, we don't know any of these people.
We've never met them.
I don't look anything like that guy.
And why are the questions so easy? And why are they all high-fiving each other and then going out for coffee on camera?
God, I know. They seem like White House reporters.
Yeah. Ooh. All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
He gets people talking, though. People wonder if he's going to shoot something or someone.
That was a man named Dan Roth of Unionville, New York, talking about a famous visitor to an elite hunting club in his neighborhood this week. Who was it?
That would have to be Dick Cheney.
It was! This week, the vice president went to upstate New York for one of his big game hunting trips, but because elderly friends of Mr. Cheney are not currently in season, and he is a stickler for hunting regulations, he had to settle for shooting farm-bred pheasants, which were let loose in the property before he arrived. The trip made news more than it otherwise would have because the gun club where Cheney hunted displayed a Confederate flag, which the vice president reportedly did not see. In fact, nobody at the club saw the flag because everyone spent the whole weekend lying prostrate on the ground, covering their heads with their arms. Here is your last quote.
He is just the man to help stamp out rock and roll.
That was the New York Daily News in 1961 expressing some very high hopes for a singer who died this week at the age of 73 without ever stamping out rock and roll. Who was it?
Robert Goulet.
In fact, Robert Goulet. The mustachioed singer rose to fame in the 1960 Broadway production of Camelot. It was his good looks and rich baritone that seemed to make him a good answer to rock and rollers like Elvis. And of course, Elvis once shot a 25-inch RCA TV set with a handgun while watching a Goulet concert. He was not happy. Goulet spent the latter decades of his life happy to parody himself, but he never stopped performing. As Hank Stoiver of the Washington Post wrote, Goulet's baritone was pure deeper and stronger than what you hear in Neo Rat Pack lounges. He was Barry Whitest.
At least Elvis didn't actually shoot him in the face.
No, that's true.
Did Elvis shoot the television because he was envious?
No, because he was envious of Robert Goulet. Fortunately, because of television technology, Mr. Goulet was not hurt.
This is pre-HD.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yeah. Carl, how did Dan do in our quiz?
Dan had 3 correct answers, Peter, so he wins our prize.
Well done, Dan.
Oh, thanks. You guys are the best.
Thank you, Dan.
Bye, Dan.
But if I never leave you, how could it be in autumn? How I'd leave in autumn.